אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
My guest today is Professor Michael Wallach, infectious diseases expert at the Technion in Haifa and University of Technology, Sydney. Shalom and welcome to SBS Shalom Australia. Professor Wallach, the Delta variant of COVID-19 is very contagious, much more than its predecessor, but it appears to be more lethal to people of all ages as well. Can you please clarify, first of all, what is the Delta variant of COVID-19?
The Delta variant originated out of India a number of months ago, and we all witnessed the terrible amount of death and morbidity caused by that virus. It was inevitable that it would spread across the world. It actually contains two mutations that are particularly problematic, making it able to, as Nitsa said, be more contagious and potentially more pathogenic as well. But it could very well be that the increased death rate and mortality seen is associated with the very large number of people that get infected and then the hospitals are overrun, unable to cope with so many patients at the same time, and this may contribute to the increased mortality as well. There are a number of strains that are well known in the world that came out of the UK, South Africa, Brazil, the United States, India, and elsewhere. Initially, they were given country names as the Indian strain and the UK strain, and then a decision was made to give them Greek letters, and that's how Delta came to be identified.
Most of Australia now is in a lockdown, started with one case in Sydney with this Delta strain. But the question is, does Delta variant affect the vaccinated? If you've been vaccinated, can you get sick again?
The Delta strain and the results indicating so far are that both AstraZeneca, Pfizer, and the other vaccines are very good at preventing severe disease from COVID and certainly death. Pfizer's claiming 100% reduction in mortality and 96% in severe disease. But that's not to say that if you're vaccinated, you cannot transmit the virus. You can. So people won't know they're carrying it, and they'll come in contact with unvaccinated people or immunosuppressed people and will transfer it to them, and they'll get extremely sick. And you can, of course, one of the problems is with children, they can bring it home from school and who aren't vaccinated and transmit it to loved ones. So it's the same with vaccinated people. There are, by the way, rapid tests that are available in the US, Europe, and elsewhere to be able to detect if you're carrying the virus.
Right. You were talking about children. We've got enough problem convincing the adult population to get vaccinated. How do you convince their parents to vaccinate their children? And is it safe?
I would say that the situation with children was similar to what it was with adults when we just started going and getting people vaccinated. There was an initial apprehension over getting vaccinated in adults. And over time, as more and more people got vaccinated, we built up confidence. And understood, again, it's not perfect. There are some side effects, but considering the number of people vaccinated and the benefit to society was much greater than the risk. There's always a certain risk with vaccines, and particularly in children. In Israel now, they're vaccinating down to age 12, and so far it's looking very good, and planning to actually vaccinate down to 5. The bottom line is, in order to deal with the Delta strain and strains that may be coming in the future, we need 80 or 90% of the population to be vaccinated to really bring life back to as close to normal as possible. It's not good enough if we leave the children out because then a third of the population remains unvaccinated. They will then circulate the virus in that group and bring it back to their, again, parents and loved ones. So the only way to adapt and get out of this situation is to vaccinate both adults and children going forward because of strains like Delta.
We are talking to Professor Michael Wallach, infectious diseases expert at the Technion in Haifa and the University of Technology, Sydney. And you are listening to SBS Shalom Australia with Nitsa Lowenstein. Professor Wallach, in Australia, a lot of the population, most people over 60 or 70, even 50, I think now it's down to 50, received the AstraZeneca vaccination. we didn't have enough Pfizer. I've got two questions. First of all, with the Delta variant, it seems that we'll need a booster, a third shot. Now, people that receive the AstraZeneca are really concerned what sort of booster they should get, because it seems that we won't get we won't have AstraZeneca after October, November in Australia. It will be only Pfizer. And the second question is, what is the fundamental difference between AstraZeneca and Pfizer? I know it's totally different technology, but as far as being immunized.
The Pfizer vaccine is based, again, on using what everyone knows, which is messenger RNA. In the Pfizer vaccine, this messenger RNA encodes for the spike protein that we all see in pictures of the virus, that is the way in which the virus attaches to your cells and enters the cell. And the messenger RNA approach has never been used before in humans until now. It's been known about for a long time and been a very attractive idea. It takes a very tiny amount of this messenger RNA, which enters the cells, gets expressed as a protein, and then the protein is seen as foreign by our immune system, and we get a very strong response to it. There was a fear by some people that the messenger RNA is somehow changing our genetic structure. But actually, the truth is, what really is more dangerous in changing our genome is the virus itself. The messenger RNA just degrades very rapidly and does not enter our genome at all, and is not a threat in that regard. And the AstraZeneca vaccine does not use messenger RNA at all. It's much more of a traditional approach that's been used previously. But it doesn't seem to, the AstraZeneca vaccine does very well, but not quite as well as Pfizer. In fact, at the beginning of this pandemic, if you asked me to predict how well a vaccine would do, and we see it with flu, I thought maybe the maximum would be 60% protection. And we're very fortunate to have vaccines such as AstraZeneca and Pfizer giving 80, 90 or higher percent protection, which is actually remarkable. And we shouldn't lose sight of the fact how lucky we are to have these vaccines available to us in a short period of time. Now, in terms of mixing vaccines with each other, that's a somewhat of a difficult to predict decision and will depend on, in the end, results that will come out as we start to do so. It is possible that a single immunization with a Pfizer vaccine and an AstraZeneca vaccinated person will give the boost that's required. It may require two immunizations. It's not known at this point. What is important to do would be to test the antibody levels in people vaccinated with AstraZeneca vaccine over time to know when to boost, and then when the boost is given, to ensure that it really gives the effect we're looking for. And to measure the actual antibody levels in people, I think will become more and more important as the pandemic goes forward and we decide when and to whom to give third immunizations. Israel is planning to give third immunizations to people in the next probably 6 months, if not earlier. And in fact, is starting to give third immunizations to immunocompromised people who did not respond well to the vaccinations they had already gotten and are particularly vulnerable.
What will you tell those skeptics that are telling all sorts of stories? They're anti-vaccination people that refuse to get vaccinated.
Look, I've met with anti-vaccination people. First of all, I think we have to communicate with them and understand everyone's point of view. I said earlier that vaccines aren't perfect. They do have side effects in people. We have to weigh the risk of them versus the benefit. It's clear that as Sydney now is sitting in lockdown for so many weeks, what exactly the downside is of this pandemic. The effects on people's lives in lockdown is enormous, and you know, on their livelihood, on the economy and everything else. Now, if one out of 100,000 people have a really bad side effect from a Pfizer vaccine versus what's currently happening, I would prefer to that risk over the risk that we currently face of, number one, being in lockdown, and number two, of getting infected with a virus that can stay in our bodies for many, many years to come and cause all sorts of adverse effects that we don't even know what they are right now, neurological effects that are being bringing a lot of concern to science. So I think it's a matter of being mature about it and weighing those two things and not trying to give black and white answers. You're either against or you're for vaccines. If we don't get the population of Australia vaccinated, and I mean 80 to 90% of the total population, this pandemic will continue to be a major problem, limiting economic growth, limiting people finding good jobs, limiting travel, limiting tourism. And that side of it can't be ignored. So I'm very much in favor of using vaccines, but using them wisely. People who have, for example, allergies, autoimmunity, other types of issues should consult with their physicians and make sure that they get the best vaccine they can get at the right time in the right way. But for the bulk of the population, everyone should go out and get vaccinated.
Professor Michael Wallach, infectious diseases expert at the Technion in Haifa and University of Technology, Sydney. Thank you so much.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.